Good evening and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Please stand for our first song.
Us meet the needs of our community, and Rod and I's can be ordered now through July 1st, and that benefits the kids camps. And another thing, that if there are any graduates, they should give their name to the office to be recognized in an upcoming Sunday. And that is all. Thank you.
All right, please stand again, and we're going to sing Mighty to Save.
He can move. the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Isn't it a mighty Savior we serve? Dear Heavenly Father God, just thank you for this night, God, and thank you for the people who came out tonight, Lord, to praise you, God, just to bring honor to your name, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that these next songs, Lord, that we would worship you, God, with our whole heart, and that we wouldn't let anything back, God, but that we would just stand before you in your presence, God, and just praise your holy name.
Offer this crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring you praise.
All right, thank you guys and girls. Awesome. All right, we'll get all set up here. I don't know how I'm going to deal with all this. I'm right-handed, so I'll put this right here, right? A couple coffees. Everybody got to have coffees. You know, I couldn't do the barefoot thing, so I wore sandals instead. But I do have my iPad, and I'm going to hook it up. And also, it's ESV. So, and I also have my backup, just in case. All right, well, welcome to Oasis, and it looks like everybody is home folks, so welcome to you. Glad you came out tonight. Know there's a softball game tonight, and so there are some people that are not here that usually are, and hopefully they don't win their game, and it'll teach them a lesson. Right? Yeah. So, you think I can get away with wearing this tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
You think anybody would say anything? Well, I'll wash it tonight. Okay. You think I can get away with that? No? Yes? Probably? All right. Well, I may try it. Not tomorrow. Who knows? Sometime. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for today. You know, Lucas is home. Praise God. And, you know, this is pretty awesome. Pastor Ron is going to start a series on faith. And I started last week a series on faith on Sunday morning. And if you didn't have any faith before this, I certainly have faith now that God is in absolute control. And the reason why, let me tell you the story, because some of you know this story, but many of you do not, how Lucas even ended up going to the hospital, okay? Do you know that? Do you know the story? Am I going to tell this? All right, well, let me tell you anyway. All right, yesterday, I guess Lucas had a bite on his leg. It looked like a snake bite or something, but it was some type of insect or two little bites, and it started to get puffy, and it started to get a little red and everything, and he had a low-grade fever of about 101.3. Is that low-grade? Yeah, okay. So he had this little fever going on, and for a whole day and a whole night, and the next day they came in, and we... Ron and Lee had to do some band practice and stuff, and they said, why don't you guys take him down to the ER? And I thought, you know, that's kind of crazy. But I had cellulitis in my leg because of a bee bite a few years ago. My leg swelled up, and I kind of thought, maybe we should. And Ron confirmed that. He said, no, you guys ought to take him down. Because I said, it doesn't look bad. So nothing else hurt. Belly didn't hurt. Head didn't hurt. He had a little sinuses, but that's about it. No cough or anything else. So we take him down there. And the doctor looks, and we tell him what happened. And the doctor looks. He said, no, this isn't causing his fever. And then she touched his stomach, and he flinched. He said, ah, does that hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. Does that hurt? Ah, yeah. So they said, well, let's do some tests. So they did some tests, and they discovered that he had appendicitis. So went through. They took him by ambulance. Ron got to ride in the ambulance. Was that a nice ride?
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Okay. He got to ride in the ambulance and went down to Children's Hospital. They confirmed what the Uniontown Hospital said that it was, and then he had his appendix removed, and he's back home playing, right? So pretty awesome. Praise God. You know what? I would have never gone to the hospital, to the ER for 101 temperature. Just wouldn't have done that. Just wouldn't have done that. Why in the world God said, tell Ron to take that little boy down to the hospital and find out what's going on. You know what? That has strengthened my faith that God is in complete control. And it really has. And this series on faith is going to be awesome. And I know Pastor Ron is going to have many good things. Now, they just got home a little bit ago, so he couldn't really get his head together to get a message for tonight. And he said, Pastor Joe, can you do one? And I said, yeah, I can do a message. And I want to talk to you tonight about faith. And we're going to kind of kick this off about faith. And we have the message... on Sunday morning, the same theme as faith. We're going to do probably different scriptures and things like that. But so what is faith? Does anybody know? Can anybody tell me what is faith? Faith. Faith is not believing that God can, right? It is knowing that he will. Faith is not believing that God can, it is knowing that he will. Now, faith, don't get me wrong on this one. Faith is dumb, is deaf, dumb, and blind. Faith is deaf, dumb, and blind. Faith is deaf to doubt. It is dumb to discouragement. And blind to impossibilities and knows nothing but success in God. You got that one? Say it. Faith is deaf, dumb, and blind. It's deaf to doubt, blind to discouragement, or dumb to discouragement, blind to impossibilities, and knows nothing but success in God. Walking by faith means being prepared to trust what we are not permitted to see. Isn't that something? I love that. Faith allows God to do for us and with us what we could never do alone. Our text today is going to be in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, I'm going to get to use my iPad up here, and I think that's so awesome. Luke chapter 7, we're going to begin in verse 1 in a moment. We find a centurion who, number one, a soldier's faith, a Roman soldier's faith, a centurion who, though he was a Gentile, understood who Christ was and is. The story is significant because this was a Gentile who exercised great faith. Even Jesus would remark that this man's faith was amazing. Let's start in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. It says, after he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the servant heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Now, Jesus remarked that he marveled. He was amazed at such great faith. Only twice in Scripture does it talk about Jesus being marveled at something or amazed at something. The other time in Scripture, other than this one, was when he began his public ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. He was rejected by his fellow Jews. He was amazed by their lack of faith. That's in Mark 6, 6. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The centurion had a faith that was more perceptive and sensitive than anything Jesus had witnessed in Israel. Family, what could be more horrible than to amaze the Son of God with your unbelief? And what could be more thrilling than to amaze him with your faith? So, why Jesus is so amazed? Why was he so amazed? What are the characteristics that made this man's faith so amazing? The first characteristics of amazing faith was that it caused this man to love across barriers. Verse 1 and 2 says, after he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders, the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. Now I want you to listen to this. Jesus comes to Capernaum and is approached by a servant of a Roman soldier. A centurion is the equivalent to a modern-day captain. He had about 100 people under him that he was in charge of. So this servant comes to Jesus to tell him about a young person, probably a child, who is about to die. Now, this is Dr. Luke writing this. He's a physician. He knows when a child is about to die. So this guy, whoever it was, this child or whatever it was about to die, according to Dr. Luke. If you ever had anybody that was someone that was close to you that was slipping away, have you? Have you ever had somebody that, yeah, I have. I've watched many people close to me and not close to me slip away into death. And that's a horrible feeling. Somebody that you care about. This was it was like how the centurion was feeling, and an awful sense of hopelessness. We are told this man loved Israel. It was also evident that this man cared deeply for his servant. This was very out of the ordinary socially. Now, what I want to talk about here is the barriers. Remember, he's a Roman soldier. Romans are hated in Israel by the Jews. He's a Roman soldier, and that even makes it that much worse. So he goes across social barriers, ethnic barriers, and everything else, right? He goes and he asks a Jew to help him. A Gentile asks a Jew to help him. Family, this man loved people who were not just like him. And that's something that we can learn. It's a lesson that we can learn from here. Here, this Roman soldier is risking his reputation by going to a Jew for help. Think about that. Sometimes we don't even want to talk to a person of a different ethnicity, do we? Or nationality. Or maybe not the same social status as us. Or maybe they're somebody that, not the same religion as us. We may not even want to talk to them. We can learn a lot from this guy. This guy's a Roman soldier. He's hated. He's a Gentile. He goes to a Jew for help. The second characteristic of amazing faith was that it caused this man to be excited and active in the work of God. Look at verse 3 down through 5. It says, when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to him, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. So, here are some Jewish leaders who have very little, if any, love at all for the Romans, and especially a Roman soldier, but this guy must have been an awesome person. We have the Jewish leaders going to them and saying, hey, look, hey, he's a friend of our nation. He loves us. He loves the Jewish people. And not only that, he helped build the synagogue. He must have given a nice tithe or a nice money or even probably gave some of his time, talents, and tithes to that particular thing. But he helped build them. This guy was pretty awesome. And now the Gentiles were, you know, at this point, the Gentiles are barred from worshiping in the temple. But they could go and listen to the word of God in the synagogue at that time. So, in this time and place, the synagogue was the way God was using to spread the light of the word to the people, to the Gentiles. This centurion used his time and money to help build it. This centurion consciously chose to participate. He enthusiastically involved himself in what was most apparent that God was doing. Now, let me tell you some statistics. George Barna shows that among regular adult church attendees, 37% did not give a dime to the church last year. Not a dime. He goes on to say that only 3 to 5% of the people who give tithe their income. The average donation is about $17 a week. That's not counting the Catholics. $17 a week. Now, I was given a story that I hope is not true with you, and I'm going to read it to you. When Pastor Smith picked up the phone, Special Agent Jones of the IRS was on the line. He said, "Is this Pastor Smith?" He replied, "Yes, this is he. I'm calling to inquire of a member of your congregation, a Dr. Ship. Do you know, do you recognize the name?" "Yes, he is a member of my congregation. How can I be of service?" "Well, on last year's tax return, the doctor claimed that he made a substantial tax-deductible contribution to your church. Is it true?" "Well, I'll have to have the bookkeeper verify the information for you. How much did Dr. Ship say he contributed?" "$25,000, answered Agent Jones. "Can you tell me if this is true?" There's a long pause. Then the pastor replies, "I'll tell you what. Call me back tomorrow, and I'm sure that it will be." I love that. Hopefully, you give because you recognize that it is through the local New Testament church God plans. His plans are to reach the lost world. As we look at what this centurion is doing, I have to ask you, what is it that God is doing that you are excited about? What matters to you that you are enthusiastically giving yourself to? Think about that. This centurion, he was a friendly person. It didn't make any difference what ethnic background you were, if you were black, white, orange, yellow, or whatever. He didn't matter. And he gave to the church, and he built the synagogue. He was enthusiastically giving of himself. The third characteristic of amazing faith was that it causes this man to approach Christ with great humility. Look at verse 6 and 7, and it says, "And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed.'" That's pretty good faith, and it's being humble. This guy not only has great love, but is a humble man. Before Jesus could come to his house, he sends another man to tell him it's not necessary to come to the house. He was a man of a very powerful, influential man, and still felt himself unworthy of Jesus coming under his roof. So here we have a centurion, powerful man, very influential man, says, "Jesus, I'm not worthy of you coming under my roof or even coming out to see you I'm not even worthy of that. The fourth characteristic of amazing faith was that it caused this man to be willing to trust in Christ alone. Take a look at 7 and 8. Therefore, I did not presume to you to come, but say the word. Let me see. Say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. The centurion realizes who has the power over life and death. Who could heal with a word? All Jesus has to do is say it, and it is good as done. There is no evidence this man has ever heard Jesus preach it at any time, but yet he believed. He made his request based on what he had heard of Jesus. Jesus promised a special blessing on people like this centurion and on you. When Jesus appeared to Thomas and removed all his doubt and proved that he had rose from the dead, he said to Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen but believe. And that's for that centurion and for you and I today. Now, in verse 8, the word also, where it says, for I too am, in the King James where I prepared this, it actually says, for also, in verse 8, we see that the officer saw the parallel between the way he commanded his soldiers and the way Jesus commanded diseases. If this Roman was with very little spiritual instruction, had that kind of faith in God's word, how much greater should our faith be? In verse 9, we see the reaction of Jesus. It says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. This guy's remarks amazed Jesus. Family, he marveled at a Roman centurion whose background and circumstance ought to have made it difficult for him to have faith. A man whose occupation prized being big, bad, and tough. A man who was steeped in paganism. A man hated by the Jews because he was a Roman soldier. Yet, in spite of all the circumstances that went against him, here stood a man who was a striking example of faith. And then Luke closes. He closes the chapter in verse 10. He says, and when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. What startled and amazed Jesus was the characteristics that anyone can have in their lives. So think that an amazing faith is the ability to do, so don't think that the amazing is the ability to do miraculous things, but the miracles are something that Jesus can do at any time. Family, if your faith, is your faith the kind of faith that would amaze Jesus? You know, a lot of words. But I'll tell you what. I told you about my faith. And I praise God that Luke is okay. And I know, like this centurion, that God can do all things. He can strengthen us. All we have to do is trust him. All we have to do is have that little bit of faith to carry us to that next day, to wake us up the next morning. So I want you to all stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And I know some of you are going through some things, and I know that it's going to take great faith on your part to get you through this next whatever it is, the next couple of hours maybe. But know that through God, through your faith, that He can and is able and will do some amazing things. So with your faith and with your life, let's make Jesus amazed at it. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for just an opportunity to come and just listen to your word on a Saturday night, Father, when we could be doing other things. You are so awesome. Thank you for what you have done in the lives of each individual that's here tonight, what you've done for Lucas to heal him, Father, and continue to do that. Lord, we just thank you for healing this church and moving us forward and opening our eyes up and making us stronger and faithful in you. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.